The last month has just been sacramentally rich here at St. Jude's and in our Archdiocese. Over the last 5 weeks, I've been able to administer or witness all 7 of the sacraments. Now, there are 2 sacraments that I cannot administer. The first is ordination. Only a bishop can do that. Only he can lay those hands on newly ordained. But I was able to be at Deacon Connor's ordination a few weeks ago, and at Father Josh, who was with us last summer, his priestly ordination just this past weekend. So I was able to witness and be part of those ordinations of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. The other sacrament that I cannot administer is holy matrimony. On my ordination day and on Deacon Connor's ordination day, we promised the bishop we will never marry anyone. And I've been faithful to that promise. It's actually the couple that marries each other. They're the ministers of that sacrament. But I've been able to witness 3 marriages here right in front of our altar over the last 3 Fridays. And then the other 5 sacraments I've been able to administer or witness. I've done a baptism in May. I hear confessions every week. I certainly celebrate the Holy Mass every day. Bishop Cousins was here to do our confirmations during May, so he confirmed all of our 8th graders right here in our church. And then I've been able to anoint those who are sick or preparing for surgery. I've been able to just soak in the richness of these sacraments. And when we look at the sacraments and examine them and what their place and what their purpose is, first I have to look at, well, what is even the name sacrament? It's not a common word in our English language. So what is sacrament? It comes from the Latin word, as a lot of our words do, sacramentum. Now you've heard that probably in some of our songs that we sing in Latin. Tantum ergo sacramentum. And so that word sacrament that we get comes from the Latin sacramentum, which means covenantal oath. A sacrament is an oath that 2 people swear to one another. It has this connotation of covenant, of relationship. We get it from the Old Testament, actually, this understanding of covenant. We hear the word covenant along with the word blood in all 3 of our main readings today. From the book of Exodus with Moses and the people in the desert, from the letter to the Hebrews, and from the Gospel of Mark, we hear that word covenant along with the word blood. Covenant and blood go hand in hand. Covenant is the blood relationship that we have with the Holy Trinity. We hear all throughout the Old Testament God, the Holy Trinity, wanting to enter into covenant, wanting to enter into family relationship with his people. He enters covenant after covenant with Adam and Abraham and Moses and David. He enters this covenant with his people. And that's where we get the understanding of covenant in our relationship with God in the church. The covenant of the Old Testament is extended and perfected in the covenant that we have in the church. Through the blood of Jesus. Blood and covenant go together because to be in the blood is to be in the family. Blood is a symbol of life, but it's also a symbol of the family. You might say, I'm a blood relative of this person or that person. And so blood and covenant and family are all tied up together. That's what happens in the sacraments. We're able to enter in and participate in the family of God. Scott Hahn, this famous theologian in the Catholic Church, he has this great line that about the Trinity. he says that our religion is the only whose one God is a family. Our one God is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our God, who is a family, wants to incorporate us into his family. That's what happens in the sacraments. Just like a baby is born naturally into a family, so we, God's sons and daughters, are adopted and born into his family through the waters of baptism, that gateway sacrament. But just as a baby's life doesn't end at birth, it only begins, so our lives in the family of God begin in baptism, and then they continue and are experienced in the celebration of the other six sacraments. You have family traditions and rituals that I'm sure you do every day and every week and every year. You probably go to the same restaurants with your family. You probably have your favorites. You probably play the same games with your family. You probably go on the same vacations. Maybe you always go to your family cabin, or you go to a destination, often down south where it's warmer. You have these family traditions, these family rituals by which you participate the communion that you have with one another. And if those were taken away, you would begin to question, are we being family? We haven't eaten together. We haven't vacationed together. We haven't played games together. We haven't done all of these rituals and traditions that make us family. And the same is true with the sacraments. If the sacraments were to go away, our relationship with the body of Christ, our family, and the Holy Trinity, the origin of our spiritual family, would be weakened, or it could even be broken. Now, if you're like me when you were growing up, we would celebrate these family traditions and rituals, including the family dinner. And if I missed the family dinner, I'd better have a very good reason for missing the family dinner. I couldn't just say, sorry, Mom and Dad, I'm busy. I won't be at dinner tonight. There would certainly be a follow-up question. Well, where are you going to be? How are you going to be busy? It better be a very good reason that would remove me from the family dinner or from this practice of our family tradition and ritual. And the same is true with the sacraments, with the rituals and traditions that we celebrate as a family. Now, there are reasons why I might have to miss. Even look at the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is central to all the other sacraments. We even call it the Blessed Sacrament, our family meal here in the Mass. There are reasons why I might have to miss, but it has to be a good reason. If I'm sick, I might be dispensed from the family meal of the Eucharist. If there's a global pandemic, I might be dispensed from the Eucharist or from participation in person at a Mass. If I'm compromised in some way, or if the Mass isn't available to me, then I'm certainly dismissed from that obligation. But it has to be a good reason. Now, this last year, of course, there's been a dispensation. There's been an allowance for us to miss Mass for good reason, just like there might be a good reason to miss some kind of other family tradition or ritual. But Archbishop Hebda, along with the bishops of Minnesota, just this past week, have announced that obligation, that dispensation, is going away. Or the dispensation is going away, the obligation is being reinstituted. Come July 3rd and 4th weekend, the 4th of July, the day we celebrate our independence as a country, we will be bound now by that obligation to come back to the family dinner. And this is actually a great joy. Think of all the things we've missed as a family this past year. All those rituals, all those traditions, all those things that make us family. We've missed it. You've missed it on a natural level. You probably haven't been able to do all those things you usually do with your natural biological family. But now that things are easing up with our pandemic, it's time to welcome back the family. And that weekend of July 3rd and 4th, maybe we'll call it Family Reunion Weekend here at St. Jude's. We're going to welcome people back. We're not just going to wave the obligation at them and say, you should be here unless you have good reason. We want to invite them and welcome them and tell them how important it is to celebrate as a family. That's what the Eucharist is. It's this sacrificial meal by which we receive the body and blood of Jesus, that great gift. And when we receive his body and blood, we become his body. We are expressing that reality that we, as sons and daughters of the Father, become the body of Christ. That's what we celebrate in the Eucharist, that blessed sacrament by which we receive. And so today, in this celebration of Corpus Christi Sunday, this celebration of our Lord's body and blood, let's give thanks to God for giving us that great gift of communion, of family. And then let's start thinking, how might we welcome back our members who haven't been able to worship with us? It doesn't just fall on Archbishop Hebda. It doesn't just fall on me. It falls on all of us to welcome back our brothers and sisters who haven't been able to experience in-person Mass, perhaps like we have. And so I want you to start thinking about those friends and family members whom you need to invite back to the family dinner, to the family table. You can tell them, yeah, we've got this pastor, he's got his flaws, but he's not so bad. We got a new deacon this summer, he's even better than Father Chad. Think of those people who we need to welcome back and invite back to the family table, so that we would always and always experience communion with that Holy Trinity. Let us give thanks to God the Father for that great gift of his body and blood, and participate in this Mass as family.